Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
My colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. The headline from China. China sets lowest GDP growth target in decades as Beijing tightens its belt, using a metaphor that is associated with poverty, with famine, with restrictive future. In the U.S., how is it in China? We welcome Ann Stephenson Yang. She is the author of a book forthcoming about China alone. China alone tightening its belt. But Ann, this is China of the Belt and Road. This is China of high-end development for all the chips that you need. This is the China that is going to dominate the world, tightening its belt. What's happened? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. What strikes me here is how everyone seems to have forgotten that China promised to drop its GDP target, because the GDP target it works as a sort of political campaign in China, and it also sets standards for how much will be invested in state-owned industry. So it really is like an automatic investment trigger, and it's not a very healthy thing for the economy.
Gordon, I come to you because I'm trying to figure now how much of this is ordinary agitprop and how much reflects the facts on the ground. The National People's Congress that has been meeting in Beijing, that is not the party. That is the government. What weight does it have when it makes predictions, or what is its duty to the party?
Well, the party is, of course, on top of and controls the Chinese central government. But the state council, and this is where Premier Li Keqiang comes in, they are nominally responsible for the economy, although Xi Jinping has taken authority from the state council. But when the state council speaks, you know, we listen, because they are nominally in charge of the central government bureaucracy.
Gordon, one more detail. Li Keqiang is stepping down, stepping away. Does this fault him for the slowdown?
I don't think that you can fault him for the slowdown, largely because the factors causing the slowdown really have been part of the central government's playbook for stimulation of the economy. It goes well back before him. When he first came in as premier, it looked like he was trying to change things, but he was not able to for various reasons. So I guess one could always fault him because he was premier. But on the other hand, he's part of a larger system that really defeated any reformist urges that he may have had.
You have a question for our colleague, Anne.
And when they announce a growth target, that's 5%. But we know that last year they had a growth target of 5.5. They announced 3.0% growth for the year. But many people suspect, and as you have pointed out, that it was could have been negative because of their misreporting of inflation. So really, doesn't this 5% target, even though it's the lowest in more than a quarter century, doesn't really mean anything, because they're not going to even meet this?
Yeah, I'd say the first quarter numbers were, or at least the numbers for the first 2 months of the year, which they held back prior to the opening of the NPC, were very negative and suggest that that 5% is really not a very realistic target. For example, imports dropped by more than 10%. You import stuff when the economy is growing.
John, also, if I could just follow up, you know, we saw the exports, and exports are supposed to be driving the Chinese economy right now. For the January-February combined period, exports were down 6.8%. And that's a real surprise to me, because I thought that that would be the one thing that would actually move China forward in this early period after the COVID lockdown. If you can talk about the export number, because that actually took me by surprise.
That's correct, Gordon. And what particularly stood out in the export numbers was a big rise to ASEAN countries and a big drop to the United States and Europe and Japan, which were their second, third, and fourth biggest importers. And there were big rises in categories that really look like dumping. Steel exports rose something like 65%. Exports of automobiles and chassis rose by about a comparable amount. And that just suggests that they have no domestic market for these things.
And the puzzle for me, Anne, here, I've had these anecdotes of people not being paid, especially school teachers and municipal workers in the Pearl River Valley. Is the budget in that bad a shape that the central government no longer can afford, or the national government can no longer afford, the structure of small town China?
Well, it's not really about the central government, which has been taking up the lion's share of tax revenues for quite a long time. It's about the impoverishment of local governments through excess debt, because they were told to increase their infrastructure spending for so long that they borrowed heavily against land sales. And now land sales have dwindled to, they're down by $2 trillion last year. And the local governments really, really need money, and they don't have any place to get it.
And Gordon, the National People's Congress, that's the government. So that's the interface with the teachers who are not being paid. Is that correct?
In a sense, yes. I mean, the National People's Congress is the highest government body, highest legislator, supposed to be the highest authority of the state power. But of course, the teachers don't interface with the Beijing government or with the national government. They just interface with the localities, and those localities are below the provincial governments. So really what we're talking about is problems at the lowest level of the Chinese government. By the way, John, China has a unitary government, which means then that the obligations of a municipality are really the obligations of the central government, but nobody really holds the central government responsible.
And to your understanding of the statements made at the National People's Congress, tightening its belt, is there a magic formula that they're looking to invoke to get out of this fix, or are they now headed to decline?
It's something that we've seen in country after country that's relied on investment for its growth, John. This is just what surprised me, I think, about the National People's Congress is the conservatism of the moves, that they really just don't have a lot of leeway to move. What they need to do is make dramatic structural change. And those have been proposals in the past, but they don't, like many governments, they don't have the elbow room to do that anymore.
Gordon, you have a question for Anne.
Anne, I saw a telling statistic yesterday, and it said that in the Lunar New Year period this year, there were 954 million fewer trips than there were during the Lunar New Year period in 2019, the last pre-pandemic year. Lunar New Year, Chinese New Year, that's supposed to be a time where Chinese travel to meet relatives and friends. That seems to me to suggest that consumption is going to be way off for the year as well.
That's surprising, Gordon. I hadn't seen that statistic, and I know that high-end travel is increasing. Travel by airplane, travel to resort areas like Hainan. But I do think that the desperation or impoverishment of the interior of the country, where 60% of the people live, has been underreported, and that would reflect that impoverishment.
Any change in the status of Evergreen's failure, Anne? Is that part of the conversation now about tightening its belt?
So Evergrande and a lot of other developers got a big rush of cash in December because I think the Chinese central government was very concerned that they would go bust and bring down the rest of the economy. They're just floating like zombies on top of this ocean of cash right now. I don't think they have a lot of hope for recovery, but also not for going out of business.
Anne Stephenson Yang. She's the author of the upcoming new edition of China Alone, Return to Isolation. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batch.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.